sometimes in the race of life, we feel like we don't have any wind left, we don't have any strength left in our legs, and there's no way we're going to make it to the finish. That's what attitudes are all about. That's what we've been building up to this Sunday, this particular Sunday. How will you construct your life? How will you build the foundation? And of what will you build it? To then go on and construct the attitudes that you live by. So often our attitudes are founded on false premises. Negativism, frustration, discouragement, always expecting the worst, and always leaving God out of the picture. It's kind of like a day when the clouds are in the sky and the sky is overcast and someone walks around saying to themselves, "There is no sun, there is no sun, there is no sun. Oh, what a miserable day." Well, sure there's sun. You just can't see it on that particular day. But it's there as always behind the clouds. Today we're going to look at 9 ingredients. 9 building blocks that are absolutely essential if you're going to build a foundation that is going to last in your daily living, that will give you the most positive outlook on life possible. You know why I know that? Because they were written by probably, in my opinion, the most positive man that's ever lived. And by the individual who's probably gone through more trauma than all of us in this room put together, and his name was Paul. Paul's life was not one series after another of successful, outwardly experiences. His life was filled with difficulty. He was beaten 5 times with 40 lashes. He was stoned. He was a night and a day in the deep, stranded in the ocean. He spent much of his life in prison, in cold, miserable dungeons. And yet so often, he ended up writing these beautiful letters. These letters of great encouragement to person after person. Lifting their spirits and with his outward focus. And he seemed undaunted. As you follow his life through the New Testament, it's almost miraculous. And I've asked myself, what was the secret to this man's life? That's what we're going to look at today. I'd like to start off by reading a verse to you out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, in verse 40. It says this, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul." The first, the very first foundation block that you need to understand is that God is always doing you good. Always. God is always working for your good. In fact, God gets excited about doing you good. Think about that when you woke up this morning and it was freezing cold. It's so easy to have a perspective this Minnesota weather is so stinking miserable. This is so rotten. Why can't I get transferred to the tropics? Why couldn't I have married into money, you know, and owned a little island all to myself where everything was perfect? We find every reason not to enjoy what we have. One of the first reasons why is because in our mind, that's not a truth that we're believing. God is doing me good. Every day I'd get up in the morning and remind myself of this. Good is coming. Good is just around the corner. That's not a fairy tale, friends. That's the truth for a person who knows Jesus Christ. There are 2 things that this will do in your life. 2 things that will outwardly change as a result of this truth. Number one, you'll never be discouraged. You will never have to be discouraged. David says in Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, he says, "I would have despaired. unless I believed, I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I think about that often in my life. When I'm tempted, when I struggle with discouragement, I think, wait a minute, good is coming. Good is coming in my life. Good is just around the corner. And out goes despair. The second thing that it helps you do is you can face each new day with a confident assurance that good is coming. Each day with confidence. With confidence, not apprehension, not fear, not frustration, but with confidence that God is bringing good into my life today. The second thing that I want to evaluate with you this morning is found in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read this to you. This is my favorite passage in the Bible. And the more I've analyzed it, the more I've read over it, the more I've begun to realize that this passage is the secret and the window to the soul of this man Paul. It lets us know what made him the way he was and why he lived the kind of life that he did. And I'm going to start in verse 28. He says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also gave them glory. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could possibly be against us? He who didn't spare His own Son, but He gave Him up for all of us, how would He not also, along with Him, graciously give us anything else that we need? Who would bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Would God? For it is God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding and praying for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face difficulties all day long. We're considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In fact, we overwhelmingly conquer and are victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded and absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither things present right now in my life, nor the future, nor the past, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all the world will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus my Lord." And there we have the secret to this man Paul. The second point that gave Paul the dynamic power in his life, and that is the second most important building block in your life, is that God works everything in your life for good. See, let me tell you a little insight about God. God, everything He does is perfect. Everything He does is good. But if you haven't guessed this by now, not everything we do is perfect. Not everything we do is good, is it? We mess up. We do really dumb things. We do really ignorant things. Sometimes we willfully, on purpose, do the wrong thing. And it seems to create problems. You want to know a neat little secret? When you're in Jesus Christ, He takes those pathetic things, those things that bother you, and He fits them all into His massive jigsaw puzzle called the puzzle of good. And He works them all together, and they all fit in just perfectly. He tailor makes them. He cleans up the mess, and He puts it all together. You've heard the story. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's soldiers and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. That's right. They can't. God can. And God puts the eggshells back together, and you would have never known that they were ever broken. There are three things that this foundation block will do in your attitudes. Number one, you're free to take risks. We're free to take risks. If I make a mistake, that's fine. I'm trusting and I know God will work it for good. God will work it for good, so I can be a risk taker. I don't always know if everything I'm going to try is going to work. I don't know if everything is going to be fine. And if I waited around for that, I'd never try anything. I wouldn't try. I have an absolute conviction God will work it for good. The second thing is it frees you from worry. Worry. Oh, our lives get filled with worry, don't they? What about tomorrow? What about what happened yesterday? What's going to happen to me next? And we get concerned and we wonder, what am I going to do? When you understand that everything works for good, you're free from worry. And the third thing is that you don't have to live life with regrets. Ever thought about that? I know for each one of us here, there's things we wish that we could go back and do over. There's things we wish would have been different. You don't have to live that way anymore. You can have the absolute assurance that God worked that for good. God worked that for good. And God worked that for good. See how freeing, how important that building block is. The third one is in Romans 8, 28 through 30. God wants me. God wants you. It says God called you. God picked you. God wanted you. God foreknew you. He gave you glory. He justified you. Just as if you'd done nothing wrong in Jesus Christ. He gave you His Son. He wanted you. Many of us here have been brought up in a family situation or through the circumstances of life feeling anything but wanted, feeling anything but important. Well, I want you to know something. If you continue to live your life after today, after what you hear on that premise, I want you to understand it's a false premise. It's sand. It's sand, no matter how much you believe it. It's wrong. God wants you. God wanted each and every one of you. It'll do two things, three things in your life. Number one, it gives you a feeling of significance. You are significant. You may look at your life and think, I can't do what He's doing. I can't do what they're doing. What you do does not make you significant. What God did makes you significant. You're significant because He wanted you, not because you're worth something. You see? It's kind of like the old man with the violin. He went to the auction. The auctioneer was trying to auction off this violin. And it looked like a piece of junk. And he asked for $50. He asked for $30. He asked for $20. He asked for $10. He asked for $5. Finally had a bidder. Before the bidding was over, an older gentleman walked up, picked it up, tuned it, and began to play it. The next thing you know, the bidding was at $1,000, then at $2,000, then at $3,000. It just all depends on what a person is willing to pay for any particular product that gives it worth. God gave His Son for you. God gave His blood for you. You're worth something. That makes you significant. Number two, you don't have to question your worth. You don't have to walk around your life wondering, oh, I wonder if I matter. I wonder if I matter. Again, if you go around in life with that particular type of attitude, you need to understand it's based on a false premise. The truth is that God wants you. And God, that will never change. The third thing is that you're special to God. I've seen so many people go through life just with kind of a blasé attitude and then they get engaged. And their whole world changes. Their face lights up. There doesn't seem to be a dull moment in their life until they get married. It just seems like things go along just wonderful. You couldn't discourage them for anything. Why? Because someone in the world considered them important enough to propose to. And someone considered them worth enough to say yes to. And it makes you feel important. Let me tell you something. God's a lot more important than the person you married. God's a lot more important than any friend you have. And He wanted you. And that makes you very, very special. You're so special that the most priceless thing God had, He gave up. The thing God hated the most, sin, He became for you. That makes you very, very special. He didn't do it for the animals. He didn't do it for the angels. He did it out of His tremendous love for you. The fourth thing, building block, we see in Paul's life, God is for me. God is for me. I think about that all the time. When I come here, when I'm out in my daily life, when I'm walking through life, I think about this. God is for me. It does two things in my life. Number one, I am free from the fear of others' opinions of me. Psychologists say that the most significant pressure in our life is peer pressure. The pressure of what we think others think of us. And you know what that's like. You know what your job, you feel stifled. Maybe in a relationship you feel stifled. Maybe at school you feel stifled. Why? Because what other people think matters to you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have their favor or not. God is for you. If you have Jesus Christ, God is for you. And you see Paul, he'd go into one town, into the next town. He didn't care who liked him or who didn't. My goodness, he lived such a free, dynamic, powerful life. Why? Because he knew that God was for him. The second thing is that I can face each day and each circumstance with absolute confidence, knowing that I have the most powerful ally in the universe on my side. You think about that. How many of you would walk through Harlem with Arnold Schwarzenegger on your right hand and Mike Tyson on the left? I would. Especially with an AK-47 and an Uzi. I mean, no fear here. What's there to be afraid of? Of course, you know, I'd have to be bulletproof because someone might shoot me from the roof. But imagine you had a force field all around you and around that. Wouldn't that give you confidence? Boy, wouldn't you be confident you're going to make that sales call? Wouldn't you be confident you get up to face each day? The strongest ally in the world is behind you and in you when you have Christ. This is no fairy tale. This is the truth. The fifth thing is God provides for me. God provides for me. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not along with Him graciously give us everything else we need? He gives it to you. I remember how that little foundation verse helped me when I was waiting to get married. I just kept saying that little verse over and over in my mind. I don't have to settle for anything less than the best, and I didn't. And I waited and I waited and I waited because I knew, here's the premise, if God gave me a son, then He'll give me a woman. See? It's no sweat for God. And He'll give me the best. Because I'd probably make a mistake if I dabbled in something like that, just like Samson made a mistake. See? God doesn't make those kind of mistakes. God provides. That'll do two things in your life. Number one, you don't have to be anxious about tomorrow. How am I going to provide? What if I lose my job? What if something drastic happens in the next year? You don't have to look forward, living in dread of what might happen, for you can settle in your heart that God will take care of me. It's better than any insurance policy in the world. God provides. Number two, anything I need, God will give it to me. Anything I need. Paul said, whether I'm hungry or whatever, God provides for me. The sixth thing, sixth building block in your life that you must be convinced of is God does not condemn me. God does not condemn me. Psychologists tell us that the greatest mental problem in this country is guilt. That is the number one mental problem in the United States. Guilt, unresolved guilt. Did you know that for a person who's in Christ, there is no guilt? There is no condemnation, Paul says, for those who are in Christ. What an amazing way to live. Wouldn't you like to live that way? Never feeling guilty, never bothered, knowing that God does not condemn me. Paul knew that. I can show you at least 10 places where Paul underscores that principle. That'll do two things in your life. You don't have to fear what God is thinking about you. You ever wondered that? Oh my goodness, God, I'm sorry. God, please don't hit me. We get so used to that because that's maybe how we were treated as a child. Maybe that's how we've treated on our job. But God doesn't treat you like that. God is not a man. God does not treat us like men do or women. God is perfect and He is good. He doesn't beat people on the head. He cares for you. He cares for you. And you don't have to fear. You can be absolutely sure. What does God think of me? God Himself can't even condemn me because He justified me. Who can condemn us? It was Christ who died. That's the answer. No one can. And not God. Boy, will that free you in your daily living to form new attitudes. And number two, you can be free from a guilty conscience. The seventh building block in your life is that God loves me. I think about that song Nikki sang this morning. Some of us, you may not realize this. Maybe you've seen it on a bumper sticker so often that you've become simply numb to that little truth. To me, it's the most awesome, motivating truth in the world. The most inspiring truth is that God Himself loves me. Actively loves me. Doesn't bear with me. Doesn't put up with me. He loves me. He likes me. He likes you. And He loves you. That'll do two things in your life, in your attitudes. Number one, you're totally secure. Totally secure. No feelings of insecurity. No feelings of smallness. You're totally secure. And number two, you can face any obstacle or difficulty and know for sure that you will come out on top as a great conqueror. We overwhelmingly conquer. How? Through Him who loved us. Through His love. And think about that. Paul went through dangers and dangers and problem after problem after problem. And he says, I'm convinced. See, this is what gets me through it. I'm convinced. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Are you sure of that? God wants you to be sure of that. He wants you to bank on it. You know what's really funny? You and I bank on things in life, both with insurance policies and banking, and neither one of them are an iota as stable as God. And yet we find so much security in our little bank account, don't we? We go through our day, through our week. Oh, I feel good. I've got $80,000 in the bank. No, most of us don't. We feel good if we have $100 in our savings account. That's real insecurity. We're talking about total security here with God. Number eight, God planned for and uses my weaknesses. Most of us curse our weaknesses. Most of us get incredibly frustrated at how human we are. And I want to read you something about Paul that gives us more insight into this man in 2 Corinthians 12. He says this, three times I asked God to take away my weakness, but He said to me, my grace is enough for you, Paul, for my power is made real perfect in your weakness. Therefore, because that's true, I will boast all the more very gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight and find great joy in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Wow, wouldn't that change your living if you really believe that? My bum leg, my sinuses, my hang-ups, my problems, they're those golden opportunities to experience God in my life. That was Paul. Two things that will do in your life. Instead of being ashamed of your weakness, you'll be able to boast about them. Instead of going around with a feeling of shame, a feeling of not being useful, a feeling of I can't contribute anything, you begin to realize that it's your very weaknesses that make you a great contributor. It's those weaknesses that God is going to come through in His power. And secondly, your weaknesses become to you your greatest opportunities to experience God's power. You no longer see them as difficulties, as obstacles, as something to trip and fall over. But you see them as absolutely golden opportunities to experience the living God in your life. And the last thing this morning, we touched on this last week, but I had to include this. With God's help and power, I can do anything. You think about that. With God's help and power, I can do anything, Paul says in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me power. You think about that. Two things that will bring in your life. Number one, you will not be afraid to try new things. Some of us are very fearful of trying new things. because we're sure we're going to fail. We're positive failure will come. You won't fail. Even if you fail, you don't fail. You tried. You tried. And you don't get out of God's good favor. He's still for you. He's with you. And it gives you the strength to get right back up and move forward in the Lord. When you fall, you always fall forward. See? You won't be afraid to try new things. And number two, you'll be able to approach life with an aggressive, enthusiastic confidence. Whatever you come on to in your day, whatever your boss puts on you at work, whatever your mate puts on you, whatever responsibilities come into your life, you can know God gives me more. You know something? I want to share a little secret with you. There are times God will give you a lot more than you can handle, humanly speaking, so that you have to get His power. And then you can handle it. And then you can handle it, you see. You can do all things through God who empowers you. You better believe that getting beat on the back and getting pummeled to almost to death, time without number, was excruciating for Paul. It was almost murder. It was painful. And then he sits in his prison cell singing with joy. He knew this principle. He knew this principle. Nine things that you need to build your attitudes on. Next week, we're going to finish off our series on winning attitudes. And a message will be entitled, Putting Change in Motion. You're going to need to know how to put all these things together that we've talked about in the last 5 weeks. How to make them work for you. Step-by-step process, how to make it work for you. How to do it, and what you'll need to do to see your losing attitudes become winning attitudes. I want to invite you back next week. Please be with us. Because next week you'll get an understanding of how to put them all together.